Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Malinoff, and boy, we got some interesting news for you today. We got the possible number three pick in the NFL draft being traded, but the question is, who would want that number three pick? And is it necessary to take the number three pick, or are people already setting in stone what they want at their certain position in the draft? Coming up in about a month, what is it, middle and April-ish, in Nashville, Tennessee. So, with that being said, we're also going to be talking about certain news regarding the Steelers drama, as that continues to be a pain and everyone's behind, and a potential game in China that the 49ers may be hosting, and what could that mean for the future of the NFL? So we'll talk about it as well. And anything else that needs to be discussed, we will discuss. But first things first, the Jets are very, quote, very open to trading the number three pick in this year's draft. And most of those mock drafts have the Jets taking a Josh Allen out of Kentucky, not the quarterback, out of Wyoming. Is he Wyoming? Yeah, he's from Wyoming. But the edge rusher from Kentucky, who is supposed to be a potential franchise player. So that's very interesting to say the least. And also, it's coming to the attention of that they are saying if any offers that are interested will come their way, we will definitely take a look at them. But the question is, what kind of offer are they thinking that is interesting to them? Like, is it this year's first, next year's first type of thing? Or is it more along the lines of just like, maybe not this year's first, but next year's first? If they don't get this year first, next year first, but this year's second, that also could be a possibility. So that could work. Obviously, someone's going to have to give up some high draft picks, high round, first, second, maybe even possibly third-round draft picks for that number three pick to get the Josh Allen or Quinnen Williams that they desire. But that is my prediction of who's going to be the number three pick in the draft. It's between those two, definitely for me, and that's Quinnen Williams, and that is also Josh Allen. Either one is definitely a playmaker for a defense. And for the Jets, I mean, they could really use another defensive player. They got C.J. Mosley, and they added Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they could add a offensive lineman to really boost that line and give Jonah Williams could be the one drafted, but could get Le'Veon Bell the line he needs to really break out this season. Obviously, they didn't break the bank for him like he wanted to. Hey-oh. Anyways, I'll be here all week. Yep. And that's true in the term and the joke-wise. Anyways, what were we talking about? I lost track of my train of thought. Anyways, regarding just that number three pick, I'm interested to see what kind of offers people are willing to go. Because it seems to me that the Jets don't really, if they're very open, as they're quoted to have been, you know, what are they? Are they not set on who they want for a draft pick? Are they doubting what they want for a draft pick? It just seems a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? It seems a bit suspicious to me that they're very open for another draft selection because of the fact that they might not know what they want in the draft. That honestly just might be the case in this scenario. And I really don't know how else to describe that. And, you know, they broke the bank with CJ Mosley. Not as much with Le'Veon Bell. They could have, honestly, I was expecting him to get what he wanted, but he got lowballed at the end of the day. He obviously, everyone says he was offered one in Pittsburgh, but of course that hostile environment, we'll discuss that, of course, later. And it just seems that there's so much going on with the Jets that they could be a potential, keyword, potential threat when it comes down to the AFC East and, of course, the almighty owners of the AFC East, the AFC East Patriots. I mean, I really don't have an opinion yet on if they will be the team to knock off the Patriots of the powerful Patriots. Patriots, oh powerful Patriots, what art thou? But I think it's becoming more along lines of how, if the Jets do continue with that number three pick, or let's say they get a first for next year. So they'll have two firsts for next year, but they don't have a first this year, but they will keep their second and take that other team's second. So I'm just theorizing here. This year's second from a team and next year's first from a team. And let's add next year's sixth and add this year's seventh. So four picks. Can they boost into a playoff caliber team with those four picks? Definitely with the high picks. But also you can't rest easy on those low picks as well, those low late round picks, because of the fact that how many Hall of Famers have come that undrafted even. So it's just one of those things you're looking at and going, what are the Jets looking for? What are they thinking about offers-wise? And if they don't get what they want in a offer-wise for a trade, who are they going to pick in the draft? Because like I said, this is a defensive-heavy class right here. The most talented defensive players in... and you don't really see this many elite defensive players like this. So obviously it's going to be a very difficult decision. Maybe they're so stuck on the Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams decision. Maybe even Sean Gary's in that conversation. Maybe, like I said, Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle from Alabama. But who knows what else is going to be the case in this situation. But, you know, we'll see. Every mock draft I see is Josh Allen. But honestly, I'm not letting go of Quinnen Williams because he's just that good, you know. So it's tough, definitely tough to go on like who's really gonna stand out to them in the draft, if anyone actually has stand out to them in the draft yet, because it seems to me that we really don't know who they're gonna pick, because they wouldn't be quote very open for it if that was the case. That's just all I'm saying. There's a lot of theories for me, is all I'm saying. And I don't know. It just, how it goes like this. Obviously, the Jets got Le'Veon Bell. They got CJ Mosley. They got two blue chippers on both offensive and defensive sides of the ball. They're looking good. They have a rookie quarterback who's only getting started. They have a solid team that can get better and better. That's all that matters, basically. And it may take a year or three or four to have these guys mature. Not mature personality-wise, just mature on the field, marinate on the field-wise, if that makes sense, and get better that way. Because if that's the case, then this team could be a serious threat waiting for Tom Brady to go bye-bye. And, you know, that also could be the case. And I don't know. I don't know how else this could, how this else could go down. Maybe, I don't know. It just seems to me that there's a lot more options for the Jets to make in this draft than most teams do, because obviously the first pick or the third pick in the draft is always a crucial pick to have. I don't think there's any doubt in that. But if there is doubt, then people are crazy. But what I'm trying to say is how all this seems to be going down is the Jets are looking at a long-term plan here. I don't see this as them looking for a short-term, let's win now type of thing. I think this is a, we should win later. We got a plan to win later. It just seems to me that that's how that how this is going. And that's smart on their part. Because with you-know-who in the New England area, they have a scenario where they're not probably going to win because of the fact they're playing in a dominated division. And they're probably not as good as the Patriots yet. There's still probably a couple, a couple key players away. And that's just the bottom line there. I think that you got to be patient if you're the Jets. And trading your first-round pick this year is probably a smart decision, thinking in the long-term plan. And when it comes down to, let's say, I think in about 3 or 4 years from now, if Sam Darnold is the quarterback, franchise quarterback for this team, they could definitely be a playoff contender. They could be a conference championship contender, you know. They could be going to the Super Bowl, all that good stuff. But I think it all depends on, like, how all the situation will go down based on just how management helps. Because this all leads to management. That's how I think about it as. I see this as a serious management. If they don't do well in the next couple of years, if they struggle, the Jets do, they don't have a winning season or anything like that, I'm blaming this on the management, because they've given opportunities after opportunities to make these high-profile picks and not be able to close on any of them. So that's a serious problem, in my opinion, when it comes down to it. But we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, I like to talk about the Steelers drama, because who doesn't love that drama? I mean, it's excellent. Of all the things that are breaking down, I think the Steelers era of this playoff, like, they're not making the playoffs next year, I don't believe. I think this is going to be a long road of recovery for them, definitely. So we'll definitely talk about all that and Mike Tomlin's responses to the certain drama, as well as Antonio Brown. And we'll get right on that when we return. But also, we will talk about Big Ben's potential the contract extension that they're talking about with the Steelers as well. And does that mean failure for the future of the Steelers? We'll be right back right after this.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the drama known as the Steelers. I mean the football podcast of GSMC. Oh, the drama. We all love it. We all wish it happens. We all love it in high school and college. We all, well, not it happening to us, happening to other people. It's kind of cynical, but it's the truth. We love seeing the drama in worlds that we cannot control. And when it comes to the one Pittsburgh Steelers, it is entertaining. It is you can watch nothing but Steelers for 24 hours and be entertained. Not what they do on the field, what they do off the field. Mike Tomlin, former Steeler Antonio Brown, former Steeler Le'Veon Bell, current Steeler Ben Roethlisberger, who seems to be the least liked quarterback in history, arguably. Like, it's strange when you see no one say any praises about Ben Roethlisberger or defend him in any way, shape, or form. I have heard no defense about Ben Roethlisberger and his personalities off the field. I've heard his praises on the field. I've never heard his praises off the field. Even on the field is limited at best. Yes, he's won 2 Super Bowls. He was Super Bowl 43 was one of the best games of all time. Super Bowl 40, a little controversial against the Seattle Seahawks, but regardless, Ben Roethlisberger has the accolades, but he doesn't have the likeness, the likableness. He's not likable. When I remember him saying, I think it was a year or two ago, that he earned the right to criticize players on social, on interviews and media and all that other thing. That's the moment where I was like, this guy is full of hot gas. No one has the right to criticize anybody to the media. You can criticize them to their face. As a leader, as a quarterback, you could say, hey, you need to work on this. Hey, I'm here to get better. You're here to get better. Let's get better together. I'm gonna critique you. That's one thing. But to talk behind the player's back and criticize them on a media scale, on a social scale, is crossing a line, in my opinion. And the fact is, both Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers are nearing a contract extension. Now, it is unknown how long this contract extension will be. It could be 1, 2, 3 years. And I think that is a death sentence when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they need to just wait till his contract ends and move on, which I'm pretty sure it ends next year. And why on earth would you want this guy that literally some people say is the reason that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell both left? Like, it is actually absurd. And when it comes down to it, overall, you're looking at both the Steelers organization and letting these things happen in the sense of letting Ben Roethlisberger do as he pleases, even though that he's not the best guy to be around. So the Steelers are like, okay. So this is the news. They're still ongoing, and it's probably going to be his last contract. Let's look at Ben Roethlisberger's current contract at the moment. And I know I'm for certain it ends next year. That he's going to be, as of right now, he has 1 year left on his contract. And his, yes, and his contract ends in 2020. So he has 1 year. He had $31 million guaranteed, which is wow. And he's going to get paid up to $12 million in base pay. And at the moment, his total earnings will be up to $99 million. Before his 4-year $87 million deal, he had a 6-year $87.9 million deal. So he had a bigger contract with 6 years, but it wasn't by much. And fact of the matter is, he is a millionaire 100 times over, basically, if he uses money correctly, of course. And he also had it restructured multiple times in 2012, 2011, and 2013. And he also got bonuses for those restructured contracts. So with him being a free agent next year, an unrestricted free agent as well, are they looking to extend him for 2 years, extend him for 3 years? I'm thinking the most at best is 3 years. I don't see it happening, a 3-year contract. I see at best a 2. My opinion is a 2-year contract. Let's go with $15 million. But he probably won't accept that because he's Ben Roethlisberger, and he'll probably have some problem with it because it's kind of his ordeal. It's kind of his MO too. It just seems like nothing is ever satisfied with him, to be completely honest. But regardless, I think it comes down to the point in where you're looking at it and going, okay, what are you going to do with these next couple of years when it comes down to it? And I, if I'm the Steelers, do not see he's the problem. He is arguably the cancer of your team, and you're ready to die with him. And he is one of those guys you're looking at this and going, wow, this is not what's happening at all. This is not what's supposed to be what's going on. He's supposed to be our franchise. He's been their franchise, but now he's like their franchise killer. He's the opposite. What's the opposite of, I guess, I don't want to use the word killer, so let's go franchise. What's the opposite of a franchise player? A 10-day contract player, like in the NBA? It's really hard to think about how this will all go down, but it seems to me it's almost a foregone conclusion that he will sign an extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just have a feeling that Ben Roethlisberger, like, no one has anything to say praise-wise about this guy. Antonio Brown doesn't. Le'Veon Bell. When your wide receiver who you made look like a superstar, or maybe the other way around, has problems with you, that's a problem. And yeah, you can blame Antonio Brown. I get that. You can blame Le'Veon. It's like it's always going to be Big Ben's team, and he seems like he's a power-hungry guy, and he won't let anyone have their way, yada, yada, yada. I kind of get all these situations. And it's just an interesting thing to look at when it comes down to the point that it's almost a detriment to the team when you're being this much of a pain, if you will. And the question remains, with Ben Roethlisberger under center and not grooming someone new for the future, are you in denial that you need help? Are you in denial that you are need a rebuild mode? I know what Mark Sousa said in the past where he was saying that they don't rebuild and they don't. But I think they're being stubborn to the point where they can't admit they actually need to. They need to, and I stand by what I say. They need to start in a rebuild period. The Browns are the new face of the AFC North. or it's going to be a battle between the Ravens and the Browns, with the Bengals and Steelers being at the bottom. Now, maybe not just of the division, but maybe the entire AFC in general. And I say to that, why keep a 40-year-old quarterback? The Patriots are keeping one because, one, he's actually winning games and just won another Super Bowl and been to three straight. So he's actually doing stuff productive, and you just missed the playoffs. So what does that tell you? I think it tells you that you need to find another quarterback. I honestly would recommend that the Pittsburgh Steelers draft a quarterback in the first round. I think they should go after the Daniel Jones. I think they should go after one of those guys to think about their, for their future, or Drew Lock, or just somebody, you know, just somebody to think about for their future, maybe not in the first round, maybe the second round or something. I think they just need to think about moving forward and moving into a rebuild mode. And with, of course, thank you 1 hour ago, ESPN Instagram, as Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner are both praising Ben Roethlisberger. Well, they've only been in the league for a year, less than roughly. And I guess I think Antonio Brown, and among others, and Le'Veon Bell, among others, would know more about him, Ben Roethlisberger, that is, than they do. I think that's an honest assumption when it comes down to it. And I really am curious to see how else this all goes down, and if maybe Juju and James Conner, both great players, by the way, will end up in a situation where they're basically Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, where they're thinking they can't be a factor, they can't be the guy, because they have a guy smothering them, if you will. And it just seems like there's a lot of questions regarding Big Ben Roethlisberger's character and just questioning his ability. Because, I mean, let's face it, guy's getting old. There's been a problem when it comes down to his leadership skills. And I think that's just leading to a problem. But overall, if I had to guess the Steelers' record this next season, you know, I'm going with 3-13. Okay. Maybe not that. Maybe we'll go somewhere. We'll go a little higher. You know, 5-11. 5-11. Definitely in the 9-11. 5-11 seems like a big accurate statement for where the Steelers are heading. And you can disagree. I just think that's where they're going. It just seems to me that that's where the destiny lies. Maybe not the destiny lies, but it seems where... I'm changing it back. That is where their destiny lies. And, you know, when Hulk Hogan goes, "This is where the power lies," and points at his palm, "This is where the power lies, brother." Well, this is where the mediocrity, or the, this is where the delusion, this is where the leadership is not, brother. And that's Ben Roethlisberger's hands. So, yes, when this comes down to it, when we go down to this road of failure for the Steelers, which is going to happen, and if I'm wrong, you can call me out on it. I'm not afraid to say I was wrong, but it comes down to a certain point where if they lose, it's his fault. I'm blaming Ben Roethlisberger. I'm blaming the front office for keeping him and all this stuff. I think personally that if it doesn't happen now, it will happen eventually. I think they need to get a quarterback, a new one, draft one, raise him, and well, what's the word? sorry, I'm thinking draft a quarterback and then and go like and have him strike Ben Roethlisberger down, complete his training, and then the road to the dark side would be complete. And that's how the new quarterback should rise, is strike down the old guard, and then his dark side will be complete. Yes. Yes, it would. Okay. Perfect. That should be a break. We'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll discuss anything further that needs to be discussed regarding the NFL, as well as the 49ers possibly hosting a game in China. And what does that mean for the future of the National Football League? We'll be right back right after this.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Football Podcast, finishing up the day. Like I said before, the NFL might be going to China for a game, as the 49ers might host a game in China, keyword might, for the 2020 season. So this might not happen this year, next year. But the National Football League's quest to expand its global reach could result in a pair of teams playing in China next year, according to the Athletic's Matt Barrows. NFL owners are expected to discuss the possibility of playing a regular season game in China, regular season game in China in 2020, with Beijing and Shanghai being both considered as the host city. The San Francisco 49ers would tentatively be designated home team, with the Los Angeles Rams a possibility as the away team after having previously shown interest in the concept. And John Lynch said prior Monday, per Barrows, as a football guy, you're usually pretty protective. Like, hey, let's make sure this is good for our team. I think one thing we feel comfortable with is that CEO Jed York and team president Al Guido always keep that in mind. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to do anything that's going to put us at a disadvantage. But if we can grow the game and also have a cool experience, we'll make it work. They would lose a home game at Levi's under these circumstances, as the Rams are unlikely to lose that type of thing because they'll have their new stadium by 2020, and that's just not a smart idea in the long run. But if this does work, if they do go to China, as they've already been in New Mexico, that's not very far, but granted, and they've already been to... they've already been to London. They've had a game in London. And they go to China. Does this mean we're getting closer and closer to the... maybe the inevitable expansion for the NFL in Europe? I'm only saying Europe for now because, well, let's back up a sec. But I think the first things first, when it comes to expansion outside the United States, obviously it's something that has been talked about and rumored for many, many years. And there was at one point a prediction of 1.8 prediction of having a whole entire league or division, excuse me, based in Europe. And with that being said, they tried the NFL Europe League, but that is just a small league with minor league players type of thing. So it wasn't ever going to really be successful. But if we had multiple teams, if they did ever do the Europe expansion and they had professional owners and all that other kind of thing, then it could work. It could 100% work. And overall, I would say, I think it will happen, but not for a long, long time. Because first things first, you need to have four or five teams there, four or five expansion drafts, four or five different stadiums built, and it's just an expensive multi-billion dollar, maybe the most expensive kind of thing we could have. And with that being said, how I see this all going down is we are going to have international teams, but it's not going to start in Europe. It's obviously we have to start this in Canada and possibly Mexico and go from there. I think the first city that should get a team is Toronto. I think it's a big enough city, a big enough market to make it work in the NFL. And then possibly Mexico City. I think that would be a good fan base to work with. But field conditions, obviously last year they were supposed to play in Mexico City. I believe it was the 49ers and Rams, actually, ironically enough, were going to play for the first time. But they were going to play in Mexico City at that time. But the field conditions were, quote, unusable, so they moved it to L.A. So with that, you have to look at, well, maybe they need a brand new stadium over there if they need it. I feel that if you're going to move to Europe, if you're going to have games in Europe, you might have to think about future other destinations. And you've already had football games in Canada before as well. But in order to test to see if this works, that's where things get complicated. Because you want to test the waters and see if this will work, a franchise in Europe work. But if you do move a franchise to Europe, you can't just have them disband after a season or two if it doesn't work. That's like a multi-billion dollar investment down the drain. And then you have to find new homes for each of those players, ownerships, coaches, and what have you. So, here's my theory. Here's my guess, at least. Maybe you look at it as more along the lines of putting a team that's, like, you know, the Raiders situation, like where they were looking for a home and they ended up just staying in Oakland for the last season before they went to Las Vegas. If there was another situation like that and they couldn't find a home, would you move them to London or, excuse me, Toronto and see how they do there and go from there? But again, you also have to look at the issues of possibly them not knowing that's their own team. That's not their fan. That's not their team. You don't really have that much of a diehard fan base there for that particular team. So you might have to risk it all and take a multi-billion dollar chance at making a team in that city. But if you do make one in that city, like, which one's first? Is it Toronto? Is it Mexico? Is it anywhere else in Canada? Or do you take a risk and put it in London and make the scheduling almost impossible for a lot of teams when they have to play in London, and for those London in that London team to go all the way to the U.S. and play half their games? So it's kind of a rough situation, but I think one day it's going to go like this. This is my prediction, at least. We are going to have a division in Europe, whether it's an NFC Europe team or some, or I'm not sure how you're going to do it. Maybe you need more than one division because you need to even out the league. So you might need an AFC Europe and an NFC Europe, if you will, which will lead to 10 Europe-based, Europe-Asian-based teams. And then you're in another tight spot of, that's maybe up to $1 trillion, you know, of investment. But looking at it all in a perspective of how to make this right and how not to burn out a lot of your players from exhaustion, especially the London team that has to play away 8 games out of the year and go to the United States. I mean, that'll take so much out of you, man. That's fatigue right there. I mean, what is that, 12-hour flights, 8 to 12-hour flights? I mean, those take a lot out of you, man. Like, I just flew back from Hawaii. It was 6 hours, and it took so much out of me. I can't imagine doing that and then adding extra hours to that flight. You know, it's just, imagine going from, like, London and having to play a team in California. I mean, that's just unrealistic. So, if you just added one team per year and put them in different divisions, I see that won't work either. I'm thinking the only way a European, a NFL expansion to Europe would work is if you had a Europe division, because travel schedule will be a lot lighter. What, 3 or 4 games would be international instead of 8, which I think is a huge difference. You play 8 games out of the 16. You're still over half of your away games are going to be in division, and home games, of course, are easy in that sense of the word. It could work, but that takes money, and I don't think the NFL is ready to do that. But this game, if this happens in China between the 49ers and the Rams, which sounds like that's going to be the matchup if they do go through with it. But again, this is all assumption, and there's a lot of differences, and there's a lot of question marks revolving around international-based NFL. Would it work? Oh, there's a very good chance it could work. I feel like that people really underestimate the international feel of the NFL. And, of course, there's also the facts of looking at, first, Canada and Mexico. But if you're going to attempt to go to Europe, you got to be willing to risk trillions upon trillions of dollars. And that's a big risk. And I did say trillions because you got to have at least, like, what, 5 Europe teams? And each arena is going to be multi-billion dollar. Okay, maybe not trillion, but it's going to feel like that. Okay, 100 billion, roughly. That's going to be probably the most that's going to be spent. So that could also be an issue. It's an experiment, definitely, to see what could go down when it comes down to a European expansion. If it does happen, it won't happen for probably at least 10 years. I think it could be successful, though. And then you can have an international Super Bowl in London or in, what else is there besides London? Wait, I can do this. What other big time? Oh, like, I guess you could do the same places like you did, like they did in NFL Europe, like Amsterdam and all those other places. But that's kind of small too. There's a lot to think about, and we'll see how everything goes. But that's our show today. Thank you so much for joining us. And as always, I'm Jeff Melanoff, and I'll see you next time. Have a good day, everybody.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.